that cruse of oil, that vessel of flour will not run dry. Now, see, I believe that. Oh, praise God. Praise God, praise God, when your heart can believe. Does your heart believe tonight? Kayla, come up here just for a minute, because I'm going to tell you something. I haven't asked this so far ever, but come on up here by me, sweetie, and I'm going to ask this. Angelo, if you could have prayer for anybody here tonight, who would it be? Will it be Kayla? I'm going to ask Jill, Pastor Kay, and anybody else that wants to come up. And Jill, I believe you might just have something for her. And you know how to flow in the Spirit, and people need to see that. Yes, I want my folks to come up here, and we're going to pray for her. Larry, if you want to pray for your daughter, you come up here too. But you just start with her. Yes, just start with Jill.
Now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we lift Kayla to you, Father God. Lord, I ask you, Father God, that you would take away all anxiety and doubt that she has. Father God, show her what a wonderful child of yours that she is. Lord, let her see herself as you see her. Father, I see her right now with a robe wrapped around her, a king's robe, queen's robe wrapped around her, and the crown on her head. And Lord, that's who she is. And Father, I ask you to just open her spirit so she can see that. And anytime she starts fearing or facing doubt or fear or insecurity, Father God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would give her that vision of that robe and that crown, and that she knows who she is in Christ.
Hallelujah. Listen to this, Kayla. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price? Far above rubies.
Yes.
The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, yes, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. That's Kayla. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and bringeth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it.
Yes.
With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. Mm-hmm. She girds up her loin with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle does not go out by night. She lays her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with fine linen. Hallelujah. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Hallelujah. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I believe that's for you. I believe that speaks of you. And I believe that there are enemies sometimes try to get into your head, into your mind.
Yes.
You need to plead the blood over yourself more. You need to speak the name of Jesus. Those are lying, lying thoughts from the devil to destroy you and to give you anxiety, to give you sadness. And you know what? None of those things are true. Pastor Kay, are you feeling any of that? Say something to her then. Somebody give her a microphone, and then we'll give it to anybody else there. Larry, anybody else?
Well, you just tell me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to be saying something that's not true. But I just sense that there's just times where you just feel like a very deep sadness just kind of wash over you. And I just feel God saying, I'm going to wipe every tear off of her face.
Yes.
And when he's done with you, you're going to have nothing but joy. Right, everything that's, you say, God, this just isn't going right, and I've done everything I could do. The word says, when you've done all you can do, just stand. And when you're asking God, Lord, what else do I do? You just stand.
Kayla, on a night when sparsely anyone's here, you have three children, but you're here, you showed up. It's so good to have you here. Brother Larry, say something to your daughter. This is Larry's adopted daughter right here.
She's my baby. I'll say this, I want everyone to hear this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, when we start praising God, when we'll learn to pray in the Spirit,
yes,
when we'll learn to let that Spirit start coming forth, I won't tell you what, the enemy will tuck his tail and run every time. And I am a pretty strong guy, and there's times that I have to say, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it, but the Spirit of God knows. And I want to tell you what, when we start letting that flow come forth, guess what? Daughter, if you'll let the flow come forth, the despair, the anguish will run. It will flee, and God wants to re-energize you. He wants to fill you from the top of your head down to the very bottom of your toes. He wants to let the Holy Spirit move in you. He wants to let that power of God come. He wants to loosen your tongue to praise him in tongues.
Hallelujah. Everybody in here that prays in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just let it go, sweetie. Let it go. We're going to put the enemy to flight. This is my daughter, devil. You will not. Brother, I feel like there's other people in here that need their tongues loosed.
Yeah,
there is. They need their tongues loosed.
Anybody want to pray in tongues? Come up here. Not, this ain't a begging ceremony.
Nah.
If you want to pray in tongues, the power is here for that. I rise it in my hand again. That tingling in my right hand is again.
Got it too, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both got it.
Amen. Mm. Praise God. Mm. Praise God. All right. That's all right. It's okay. We know you're shy. Are we shy or are we hungry? Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Okay. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I feel like the... What's that? What about it? Yeah, carry it with you. Somebody else carry this other one. Just, we don't know what's going to happen. Do I want what? Does Brenda have one? Go get her. Lay hands on her. Even if you don't pray, just lay hands on her for a second. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Did you have a testimony?
I did.
Stand up, sweetie.
I just thank God so much for all the things he delivered me and my children out of. I'm reminded so often. I don't say enough how much I love Michael for all the things that he has saved my children from and saved me from. I just thank God so, so much that we were delivered. My kids are never going to know a lot of things that they would, you know, they would have endured. They're not going to have to, because me know Michael up there, and he's not mean. He's so sweet and so good.
I know he is.
And sometimes I'm just a heifer, and that's just all there is to it. But I thank God for making me bold. I have never been bold. I have always been afraid and timid and just really easily intimidated. And I thank God that I have somehow found a voice inside of me that I am not, I know I'm not entitled, but I know that I am worthy. And I haven't been afraid to say that to this company I work for. And I just thank God, because that's not my normal, but normal is a setting on the dryer. So I thank God for what he's doing in me.
Praise God. Amen. And you know, I want to tell you something. God's doing something in you too. He's doing a deliverance in you. It's a different kind than your sister's. It's what I would call a progressive. And God is taking you by the hand through one experience after another experience, experiences that you have that sometimes I see that you think about them. And God's going to show you some things and say, let me explain. Let me explain what happened. See, there's things only God can explain. And as you do that, and I know you're willing, he's just going to help you. He's just going to deliver you one day at a time. And amen. Anybody else want to be ministered to? Anybody else want to minister to somebody else? Oh, I'm just so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we can pray for Ernie. Go on over there, Larry, and anybody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father in heaven.
Amen. When you walked by me a while ago, after the offering, the Holy Spirit started dealing with me that he's going to work a miracle in your life. A miracle. An absolute miracle.
Thank you, God.
And I'm going to lay hands on you, and the Lord's going to start that miracle in your life, in your body, today. Not next week. Today he's going to start it, and you need to start claiming it. Claiming that miracle that God's given you. Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I lay hands on my brother. And as I lay hands on him, Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit start going through my hand into the top of his head all the way through his body. And I ask, Father, that this miracle that we're believing for, it starts today, Father. Not next week, not next month. It starts today. And we're receiving miracles. We're receiving health. We're receiving, I rebuke fear in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I command it to leave, my brother. There is no fear. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I speak to this heart. I speak to this heart to be whole and complete in the name of Jesus. Everything is going to function the way it's supposed to function. And we believe that. I confess it. You believe it, brother?
Amen.
Tell the devil that he's a liar.
Devil, you're a liar.
And we believe what God's word says.
We believe what God's word
says. I'm whole. I'm made in his image. And he doesn't make junk.
Amen.
Amen.
Mary, have a peace in your heart about all of this. Just have a peace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm so excited about the Holy Spirit. I'm excited about the Word of God. And I want to begin to teach a little bit, I don't know for how long, on Bible faith. Did you want to say something? Are you sure? Okay. If you would take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And I'm going to start a thought on faith. And I understand faith better than ever before, and it's taken me so long. I think I'm a slow learner, but I want to make a point here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 is a simple verse, but it's so powerful. It says this, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Father, in Jesus' name, bring out the portion of this message tonight that you want people in here to hear. We walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by the five senses, what that means. We do not walk by the five senses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Is that one of the verses I gave you? The second verse? If it's not, that's okay. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, this is what the Word of God says. God told Adam and Eve, "Every tree in the garden you can eat from, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat from it." And then he warned them, "For in the day that you eat of that, you will surely die." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of that fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband. See, she had a little talk. She didn't have a little talk with Jesus. She had a little talk with the serpent. Now the serpent, according to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, was the most subtle creature in the garden. It was Satan. And Adam and Eve were put in the garden to dress it and keep it. That means to dress it, to keep up with it, and keep it beautiful. And to keep it means to guard it. And the devil should have been cast out. That serpent was supposed to have been cast out of the Garden of Eden, but he wasn't. And Satan decided to pick on Eve first, and then got her husband involved. And the eyes of them, and her husband did eat with her, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they could see that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves coverings. Their eyes were open. They died. They died. And this is what happened. They no longer walked in the realm of the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says in verses before this, and they were both naked, and it wasn't no big deal. But after they did that, it says their eyes were open. Their eyes, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what we have to be careful of. Love not the world or the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is passing away. And they begin to die. Make no mistake, they died, and they were reduced to their five senses. The way that they walked from there on, the way that they made their decisions, the way that they were guided, is by the way they could see, hear, feel, touch, or smell. They were reduced to that. And in God's eyes, they were dead. And mankind was dead until John, when Jesus told the ruler that came and wanted to talk to him at night, he said, "We know there's something about you." And he says, "You know what? You must be born again," John chapter 3. "You have to be born again." Well, do I have to try to get back in my mother's womb, teacher, rabbi? He said, "You're a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand what I'm saying. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see or perceive the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." In the book of Luke, the word says, "Behold, right now, the kingdom of God is within you." Now, if you're born again, you need to do what Peter said. And this is what Peter said. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, he said, "As newborn babes, earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word so that you can grow." And if I've seen anything in the church, so help me God, I rarely can find a person that can quote even 10, 20 Bible verses. And Jesus said this in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what does this have to do with faith? Now, let me tell you something about faith that I think you need to understand. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Do we have that? Is that one of our places? I think it is. Okay, that's it. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your normal service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might discover that you might be in the perfect will, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every person." God has given every person. I'm talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people. He's given all of them the measure of faith. I did not understand this for years. Recently, a friend of mine named Bob from across the country here, nobody knows him, they got in contact with me. And several years ago, Bob had another accident. He had a rollover accident, and his vehicle, and he had to wear an apparatus on his leg. Now, I witnessed to Bob, and Bob never would accept Christ. But he had this thing, and they said, you're never going to walk again. And I can set my phone right here. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to make a very sincere point here. Betty Davis, okay. So glad to hear y'all still have dogs. Bob was in a rollover, 7207, with Butch and his 14-year-old son at the time. His pelvic was broken in four places, and muscles and nerves really damaged in his right leg. They told us he probably would never walk again without using a walker. He was devastated and depressed. I have met in the last 5 years more devastated and depressed people than in my entire life. When that COVID hit, the world, not America, the world went into relapse. People that were doing good, all of a sudden, bam, it hit them so hard. Now listen to the rest of this here. Now, this is an unsaved person, but you know what Bob has? Bob was born with a measure of faith. God has given every person a measure of faith, and it's a shame that we don't do what we're supposed to do with that measure. We're supposed to take that measure of faith, and we're supposed to eat the Word of God. We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be ye not. I beseech you, therefore, mercy, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. See, brethren, the brethren, that's what we're supposed to do. You know what we're doing? We're standing by up here, and we're trying to get people worshiping God. We're trying to get everybody to present their body a living sacrifice to God, okay? Which is our reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. 1 John says this, love not the world, nor the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of God, and it's passing away. Make no mistake, it's passing away. So we're to present our bodies, this is what we're supposed to do. So he was devastated and depressed. Then a couple of months later, he got so angry. See, some people just need to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Here's a lost man that took the measure of faith that God gave him, and look what he did. Then a couple of months later, he got so angry and said he would not live like this. He went to the back door, and he threw the walker out and said that he would do it his way. Okay? Well, he did, and walked again with no walker. He has trouble with his leg, and it was hard to get to his dog, so he gave up hunting. He has gone a few times with a friend, blah, blah, blah. But here's a lost person. And may I say, a very lost person. His brother was a hitman for the Hells Angels, California. He was so mean, they were so afraid of him, the Hells Angels killed him. He's from a rough cut of people. And I just loved him, and he loves me. And this is what God wants you and me to do. See, the only way, and one of the least things I've seen since 1971 is people that were feeding on the Word of God so that they could grow spiritually. You can't grow without eating the Word of God. How do you eat the Word? You find a place in the Bible where you need something. Hey, Siri, give me some scriptures on healing. +50 Bible verses at the top, 15 Bible verses on healing script. And how many people have I prayed for? Sick. Some of them get it, some of them don't. Some of them, they get it on my faith, okay? Some of them, they get it on their face. Some of them don't get it because they don't have any faith. Why? Because they haven't fed on the Word. They haven't looked at these 50 promises. They haven't put those Bible verses on the refrigerator and where they go to the restroom and where my wife's got them. You can come to our house. They're just plastered on the wall where she sits down in a chair and still does exercises today. But God wants us to take that measure of faith. We all have a measure of faith. Everybody, not just Christians. The Bible says, and God has given to every man, that means everybody, the measure of faith. You know what Jesus said? When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? And what he was saying was, not much. And we have to deal with that. Because let me tell you something. I've seen something here. And I'm putting myself on the line when I say this. Some people that I looked up to in the ministry, faith teachers, dying, 84, 82. Now, can I tell you something? I'm more impressed with that little woman of color that I saw on TV that was 118 years old. See, you know what was on her lips? Here she was talking, praise Jesus. She was talking about the Lord. She was a word person. You cannot get what you want from God without being a word person. There are over 7,500 promises to mankind in the Bible. We have to know them. When Satan comes to attack our mind, when Satan comes to pull us down, we have to know how to resist him and tell him, get away from me, devil. I plead the blood over what I think, and I'm not thinking about that. And I command you to leave me. If you don't leave me right now, I'm going to command the angels that the Lord has left me to drag you down into hell and to hold you there before your time. Obey me, devil, in the name of Jesus right now. That's how come not long ago I challenged people to come up here and touch this cross. With the name of a loved one on their lips. You see what I'm trying to say? People can get saved. People can get healed. People can get delivered. But you've got to, for goodness sakes, you've got to know the Word of God. How many promises? How many of the 7,500 promises to mankind do you know? See, that's a very important thing. That's very important, what you know. What you don't know will excel you or defeat you. So, I want you to see this with me. Matthew 4 and Luke 4. Jesus is having a little conversation with Satan. He had just been on a 40-day fast. He said he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after 40 days, he was hungry. And the devil came to him and said, well, if you're really the Son of God, take these stones and turn them into bread. You know what he answered with? He answered with the Word. It is written, devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word. And he took him to a high place on the temple. And Satan said, well, he wants to talk about the Word of God. So Satan said, throw yourself off of here if you're really the Son of God. And he started to misquote Psalm 91, saying that the angels wouldn't let his feet be dashed against him, and that the angels would save him. And see, he said, okay, you want to use the Word? And if you're not careful, the devil will twist you up on the Word, is what I'm trying to say. He said, so throw yourself off if you're really the Son of God. How did he answer? It is written. See, you're going to make it or not. by what you know about what is written in this Bible. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm talking ahead of the game here. If I only live to be 84, just put a big sad thing on my tombstone. Dadgummit, I missed it too, with all the rest of the faith teachers. I'm more impressed with the Apostle Paul. How old are you old now? He's going to be 91 in September. That's impressive. When people start getting in their 90s and they can still go to church. By the way, he was out there sweating it out there, working out there today. God bless all our workers. God bless you. Man does not live by bread alone, devil, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, you want to talk about the word? So Satan misquotes the word of God to the Son of God. If that's really you, throw yourself off of here, blah, 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 and the Lord will send his angels to help you. And he looks at him again. He says, it is written, devil, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, what do you know about dealing with the devil? That's what's important. What you know or don't know is going to make you or break you. Then he said, he showed Jesus multitudes of kingdoms on the earth. He says, all this is mine. It was given to me. No, he lied his way into things. Jesus himself called him the small g, the God of this world. He said, the God of this world is already judged. You know what that means? Satan is the biggest loser in all of creation. He is the only person at this time that is named that he is going to the lake of fire. He's already been judged. Your enemy is already been defeated. But you have to institute that. If you'll just bow down and worship me. Can you? You don't think the devil will take a shot at you? Here he is talking to the Son of God. The word says in Corinthians, if the princes of this world would have known who they were messing with, they would have never crucified Jesus, because it made an explosion of the power of God on this earth, because Acts 1:8 is for everyone. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. I'll give them to you if you'll worship. And at that point, Jesus had enough of that. He said, get behind me. Get out of here. For it is written, one more time, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only. Get out. Every bit God, every bit human. We look at him in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prays three times, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. But your will be done. This morning I prayed with Millie, and Millie prayed too. Father, into your hands we commit our spirit, because we trust you. I trust whatever you have for me. I just want to be in the center of your will. Jesus said, my meat, what really motivates me is to do the will of my Father and to finish my course. The Apostle Paul, by the way, said, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. See, it's important. Each one of us has a course. Your course ain't my course, and my course ain't your course. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We've all got this Bible. I've just shared a message with you about Bible faith. What do you know about the Word of God? What do you know about what you need, what you want? What do you know about the anxiety? About it, if you would just activate the Word. Girls, come up here. We're going to have communion. like we do every week. And we're going to take communion and go home. Oh, I pray the word of God touched your heart tonight. Amen.